This is the founder of the United Empire, Will Ospreay, the man that has done it all in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to The Wrestle In.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the October edition of the Puro Vision podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Johnson, and with me this week, this month, unfortunately, I don't have my usual two co-hosts of Ben and Kay. They'll be back next month, but on the other end, unfortunately, we don't have Ben and Kay, but fortunately, we have wrestling contributor Fuser. How are you?
I'm good.
Fantastic. And a debut for Pure Vision for you.
Yeah. Also, just all around podcast debut. This is my first time on a wrestling podcast.
Wow. And you've done plenty of the live streams, haven't you? We've done a few of those of the AEW shows and that sort of thing.
Yep. I've done a few AEW shows. I did a G1 preview of you, actually. And also, yeah. I did the Kobe World stream with Kay.
Fantastic.
So, well, out of the team, I've only not worked with Ben.
Well, and yeah, unfortunately, as I said, Ben's not here, and neither is Kay, so we'll be putting off our Dragon Gate catch up until next month. But lots to talk about this month still, even without sort of Kay's Dragon Gate corner. And we'll start with New Japan and a busy month for New Japan. A couple of big shows to talk about. First, we'll start with Destruction in Ryogoku from earlier on in the month. A lot of matches on this card. And we'll start with the main event, which is, I'm thankful to say, one I haven't watched. But Fuser, you have watched Evil versus Sanada in a lumberjack match. I'm sure you loved it.
The prize for winning that match was a one-year supply of vinegar. And that was the most appropriate match, appropriate prize for that match possible. Oh my god, no, it was bad. Just, if you haven't seen the match, for context, Meltzer rated Chase Owens versus Tonga Loa higher than this match. This match got 1.5 stars from Meltzer. Tonga Loa versus Chase Owens, 1.75. This was just god-awful. Very much a showcase of how the House of Torture cannot work for basically longer than a 10-minute match. And if it's something where you know their shenanigans are just going to be in there from the very beginning, then it's just extremely off-putting and you just have to power through it. And there was just way too much. This was 28 minutes, and I think out of the entire thing, House of Torch shenanigans was like 25 minutes. I think there's like, wow, 3 minutes of just pure like actual wrestling in this match.
And I remember when we were doing the G1, I boldly decided that I'd watch every G1 match. And that, in hindsight, was a bad decision. So I'm glad to hear that my decision to avoid Sanada and Evil, with just get out of the way of it, was that has come good, that decision. I'm glad to hear.
Yeah. The real main event is the Junior Heavyweight 3-man match. Please don't watch this match. Don't give it the time of day. Let New Japan know that we are very much sick and tired of the House of Torture, and they should not be in a main event spot whatsoever. But no, there is the highlight of Red Shoes Uno flipping off Evil.
Right.
That's like the only good thing that came out of that match.
Yeah, it sounds about right, doesn't it? But you mentioned there the semi-main event on this show was Hiromu Takahashi defending his Junior Heavyweight Championship against Yo and Mike Bailey in a three-way. I thought this was a really good three-way. Freeways aren't usually my sort of thing, but I thought it was nice change of pace. You don't see it very often in New Japan.
Yeah.
It worked really well. And yeah, pacey junior match is sort of how I described it, Fuser.
Yeah, I love a three-way. Three-way matches are definitely one of like my favorite styles of matches. And this match going in, I was kind of a bit like iffy about it because it was originally supposed to be Hiromu versus Speedball versus Leo Rush, but then Leo got sick, so they replaced him with Yo. So I was going into it like, this will still be a really good match, but there just won't be the same elements of like personal like rivalry as there would be if Leo was in it. But honestly, even without Leo in the match, Yo like stepped up and delivered in his position.
Yeah, Yo was really good, wasn't he? There was that big back and forth with him and Hiromu that was sort of the highlight of the match for me.
Yeah, they had a great back and forth. Speedball was incredible as ever. It was interesting to see him like angry post-match. Like, that's not something you'd see from Mike Bailey. He's usually very like calm, like, wrestler. So him being, like, really pissed off and, like, yelling at Hiromu as he's walking out was interesting.
Yeah, so a really fantastic match. And, yeah, avoid the main event, but watch the semi-main event for sure.
Watch the semi-main event and also watch it for the surprise return of Taiji Ishimori afterwards.
Yeah, and we'll get to Taiji Ishimori a little bit later on with his match at Royal Quest as we work our way sort of backwards through this Destruction and Ryugoku card. A few title matches worth mentioning after that. Very good three-way. And it's, for me, a not-so-good title match. David Finlay defending unsuccessfully against Tama Tonga. The closing stretch was good, but the match up until that point was dire and just dull as dishwater, I thought.
Yeah, I think we're at that point where we need to talk about Finlay as a leader and also just the booking of War Dogs in the show. Finlay, I don't know. I don't think they need to do Tama Tonga versus Finlay again. There's something about like the Never Open Weight title and Tama Tonga facing the same person like four different times within the span of 2 months. It's tiresome. And especially when it's opponent like Finlay, where you expect a win and then he loses it back to Tama, and then you're kind of questioning, like, but why? why did he lose the title here?
There's no real point to it, is it? It seems a bit quite back and forth. For me, these two they're both wrestlers who are, they're good wrestlers, but they have good matches against people better than them. And you can't put two of those wrestlers against each other because it's just a bad match. Like Finlay against Okada or a Takagi, something like that. It's fantastic because he wrestles up to that level. Same with Tama Tonga. They wrestle up to the level of their opponent. Whereas if they just, the level of their opponent in this situation is their level. And it's just, it doesn't go anywhere. It's just an average mid-card match that's got a title tagged along to it.
Yeah. Tama Tonga, like when GOD is doing tag team stuff, phenomenal tag team. They can put on a tag team match whenever. But Tama Tonga is definitely one of those guys where you need to put him in the match with someone who can elevate him. Same thing with Finlay too. And these are just a match where both of them were put against two people against each other, and they needed a carry, and they just didn't have it.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely the takeaway from that one. A few title matches left to go. The last one that I actually watched, I know a few of you watched a little bit more of the show than I had. I watched the Never Six-Man title match. Tanahashi, Okada and Ishii defending against the Impact team. It's got a weird combination, but Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. And for me, a really good trios match. It was a nice to see sort of like a story in there with Tanahashi getting the pin back on Alex Shelley, which was nice, and the way they worked sort of a story within a trios title match, I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, there's that as well. And then also, I'm kind of going to pull a bit away from Japan here for a second, but this also did help a bit set up the Bound for Glory main event between Alexander and Alex Shelley for the Impact World title, because Alexander did accidentally clock Shelley, or in quotation marks, some would say a clock Shelley, and which then resulted in the whole final like segment that resulted in Tanahashi getting the pin. So there's kind of like a bit of a theory of like, did Alexander do that on purpose? Is that really in his nature? So it also added to a bit of Impact lore as well, which I'm always down for wrestling contributing to other wrestling. But yeah, no, this was a good, like, nice, 15-minute sprint. It's nice to see, like, more fresh challengers for the Never Open Weight 6 titles rather than, like, just the same, like, New Japan trios. Bring someone over from overseas was a nice, like, surprise.
Yeah, it was something a little bit different, wasn't it? It's sometimes nice to see on these sort of cards because there was sort of the usual stuff a little bit further down, and you've done your homework more than I have, Fuse, and you've watched a bit more with this card. So what did you make sort of the highlights of the rest of it?
So highlights for the rest of it is definitely Yuya Uemura joining Just Five Guys, becoming the new fifth guy. He had a nice little a return showcase. I thought it was done really well. There was also the best of seven series final, which ended in a draw. That match didn't end in a draw, but the series as a whole ended in a draw. Which
Who was that between?
Hmm. Sorry.
Who was it between? Sorry, the.
That was Wado, Shota Umino, and Yuji Nagata versus Strong Style. I don't understand the point of having a best of seven series if you're just going to have it end in a draw.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really take either of them up, does it? They're in exactly the same position as they were before if it's a draw coming out at the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. Because like the whole point of it was to prove which was the better six-man team. And then the first match in the best seven series ended in a draw. And then they just ended the series 3-3-1. So it's like they didn't establish anything there except for like maybe Shooter and Ren Narita are going to team for World Tag League, which they teased a bit.
Right.
And then there was also the Strong Openway tag title match. There's not much to write home about with this other than Coughlin and Kid lost on the first defense. Which, like, why? This show might honestly be the worst booked New Japan show I've seen. Right. There was so many like head scratching, like, what are you doing? Why is this team winning? Why is this person winning? Just way too much. Like, I have to think about what's going on in this show rather than be like, wow, that was a great match, which is not the normal New Japan style. So it's like, it feels like it got overbooked. And yeah, for the worst.
That can happen sometimes if it's not these sort of cards. I know I saw Gabriel Kidd, you brought him up there. He was on Rev Pro over last weekend by the time this comes out. And he was fantastic value there. He was a four versus four elimination match, and he was the heel of the situation, but in his team. But it was 4-1. He was the only person left on his team. And there was the four people of the other team left. Gabriel Kidd's teammates had got a bit of a miscommunication, and Gabriel Kidd just eliminated both of them on his own team, which was fantastic. And then he took out all four members of the other team one by one and won. It was fantastic. So that's the sort. I mean, Gabriel Kidd, they could be doing a lot more with Gabriel Kidd. That's sort of a way of just illustrating that New Japan can sort. They could do a lot more than they do with someone like Gabriel Kidd.
Oh, 100%, I agree. I was honestly surprised that he was a young lion for as long as he was, given his prior experience in wrestling. So it was, and then Game Brown to Bullet Club. He's been really good at Bullet Club, though. It's definitely suited him.
Is that the lot then? No more highlights to be spoken of?
Definitely not. I don't have any nice things to say about Tonga Chase Owens. So yeah, that's it.
Fantastic. So we'll move on then to a show I thankfully have seen a little bit more of. The Saturday, the 14th of October in London, the Copper Box, World Quest 3. This, I thought, was really good fun. A two-match card, pretty much, on paper and in actuality. But the undercard stuff did show a little bit of promise as well. I'll just sort of scuttle through the undercard before we get to those big two matches. You mentioned Ishimori a little bit earlier on. He had his return match. Robbie X, he faced a British cruiserweight wrestler. Solid, average match. Nothing really to write home about. It was over pretty much as it started, but it was nice to see Robbie X in that sort of position for my sort of perspective. And Ishimori back in the ring is always a nice thing.
Yeah, Robbie X was a good choice for a return match for Ishimori. Robbie X is a definite like workhorse in the UK scene, so this was just a very strong return match. Just something not too hard, but definitely not something to like just look over. It was a good match, but yeah, like you said, there's nothing really to write home about.
Yeah, that's definitely it. And the next one was another singles match, another sort of British wrestler versus New Japan wrestler. Singles match, Trent Seven this time. I'm sure probably a bit more of a familiar name to more people. He was against El Desperado. it was just a bit weird, this. I don't want to go too hard on a undercard singles match, but the stuff with a steel chair of El Desperado just getting hit by a steel chair in plain view of the referee in a double negative, it was a normal match. So
yeah,
Trent Seven has hit El Desperado with a chair in full view of the ref, and it's fine, do that. I don't care. But there's a ref bump later on.
Yeah.
Why do we need the ref bump to do some cheating when we just did it in front of him earlier on? It was pathetic, I thought.
Yeah, this was a really weird match for that. Ref bumps are usually saved for like more like title matches or other higher card matches. This was the second match of the for the morning. So already it's kind of like Trent Seven. I've been awake for about 15 minutes here. Am I really gonna be that motivated? And then there's just like the chair shot in front of the referee, and then ref bump, and it's like, what is going on in this match? Why is there?
It felt quite backwards, I thought.
Yeah, it was very chaotic when it didn't need to be as chaotic. Also, Desperado gained the win over a heavyweight in Trent Seven. Was interesting as well.
I think it's more just a New Japan beating British. I don't think they was going to ever put over a British guy over them. I think it's more of a the gaps are plugged. It's sort of put as a Rev Pro guy here, and mm-hmm. Trent Seven was the name that was plucked out by Andy Quilden for that, the Rev Pro owner. Another Rev Pro versus New Japan match. A little bit better, this one. Luke Jacobs against Yota Tsuji. My only issue was mainly really expectation of that. I was in the building for Luke Jacobs against Tomohiro Ishii over the the AEW or All in Wembley weekend, and it was my match of the weekend. That, so I sort of had high expectations for what Yota Tsuji could do with him, and yeah, not a lot was pretty much the explanation. It wasn't as long as the Ishii match, or was detailed, or was strong, or physical, or anything like that. It was a lesser version of that Ishii Jacobs match. Still good, but not on that level, which sort of watered my feelings on it.
Yeah, this was a match when they first announced Jacobs versus Tsuji. I was like, okay, cool. This is going to be like near the end of the show. Jacobs is going to get a big like in our showcase match like he got with Ishii. And this is going to get another great rating. And it's going to be in our highly acclaimed Luke Jacobs match, which might result in him being elevated even further and get invited for a spot in like the G1 maybe next year. And then it was the third match on the card. And it was like, I mean, it was still like a fun match compared to the first two. But yeah, like you said, it was no Jacobs versus Ishii. It was definitely a much different pace, a little bit quicker. I think this match only went about 9-10 minutes. But it was still great. I think Jacobs did great in it regardless, despite the loss. And then he has another one coming up against, I think it's Shingo. I think Jacobs has
Luke
a match.
Jacobs. He's got Ishii again in December.
Yes.
December 16th. It's Ishii Jacob 2 at the Rev Pro Uprising, I think it is, at the Crystal Palace. It's the 16th of December, as I'm aware.
Yes, right. It is against Ishii again, yeah. That one should also be a really good one. I just hope that people don't go into it being like, yeah, it was good, but is it going to be as good as their first one? Because it's possible that it might not be as good, depending on the rest of the card.
Yeah, I think it was this Tsuji match was lacking time to get on that level, but good for the spot it was, I thought. We had a title match after that, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Titles. Clark Connors and Driller Maloney, we'll get there eventually to get my teeth in. They fought a couple of young British wrestlers, Cameron Kai, who's on his way up, and Luke Slater, who is sort of Luke Slater, I'm all over the place. Leon Slater, who is one of the best guys on the scene right now. He's fantastic, really is. and he looked fantastic in this match as usual. Just a really solid, energetic, high-flying junior tag match. I mean, what more could you ask for from it?
I mean, I could ask for more time. I think it should have been longer.
The show was long enough. I didn't need more time.
In my opinion, this was a really great match. In terms of like compared to like the rest of like the undercard, midcard, it excuse me, it deserved more time. It needed more time. It went sub 15 minutes. I feel like, especially since it was a title match, they deserved more time. And it was just such a great sprint too. That like, but once the match actually ended, I was like really like getting into it, and it was like, wow, this is like going hard. These like Cameron Kai, Leon Slayer, they're such like a great team. Oh, it's over. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's it. But yeah, no more time. That's all I have to ask for from this one. This it was good, definitely for sure. Maloney and Clark Connors have been a great junior tag team.
Yeah, definitely. It was good for its spot, again, like we've said a few times. So that was it really for me from the undercard. The multi-mans didn't really attract me, so time is of the essence.
Could I just address one last thing from the undercard? Yeah? The six-man tag match of ELP, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa versus Coughlin, Finley, Gabe Kidd. I'm addressing this for a bad reason. Going back to Destruction and Ryogoku, I don't know what they're doing with War Dogs. They have them lose all the three titles they were holding going into Destruction and Ryogoku, and then they have them lose again in this match with Finley getting pinned by Tonga Loa, the one guy on that team that is not holding a championship as of this recording. Like, it's, I don't know why they're doing this. I don't know if it's something they're building up towards Finley getting removed as leader. I don't know if it's just like bad booking, but it like this wasn't how you get back the momentum of War Dogs after losing all of the gold they had. It's to have them lose in a 10-minute match again to the guys they lost the belts to. That was just kind of frustrating, especially seeing like that Coughlin and Kidd were doing really great in this match. Finley was having a solid match as well, and then he just gets pinned by Tonga Loa. With all due respect to Tonga Loa, but like, come on. Come on. <Definitely. sighs> And then also Kieran stealing ELP's strong openweight tag title.
That's worth checking down on Twitter, actually. Yeah, it was Kieran. Kieran stole ELP's title, had it on his shoulder momentarily, and then ELP took it back. Even got a little nod on commentary.
Gideon Gray, Kylan,
something like that. The thought was there.
He mispronounced his name as Claren.
Claren, that was it. Yeah.
Claren.
We should call him Claren from now on.
We should call him Claren.
Follow Claren on Twitter for his.
Claren RH.
Yeah, so we've got then the two match show had its two matches, Ishii and Takagi, which was as incredible as it looked on paper. Lariats and forearms and chops and suplexes, and a proper puro match is really this was.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Great puro match. There was just super, super hard hitting. Exactly what you expect from them. If you've seen any of their matches from before, whether G1, title matches, anything, you were going into this expecting them to either bloody each other, decapitate each other, or die trying. It went hard. They went stiff. It was really good. I think this was probably their most stiffest encounter between the two of them. There was some like real loud shots with the like pumping bombers and clotheslines. Yeah. Like, I think this might have been their stiffest. And then of course Shinko picking up the win.
Yeah, fantastic really, wasn't it? And the main at the main event. IWGP US / UK Championship now. Will Ospreay defending against Zack Sabre Jr. And absolutely remarkable this match. Lived up to the hype, and then saw me. It was relentless and just energetic, and it escalated. I thought that was the beautiful thing about it. It started off with that slow and steady first few minutes, and then by the end, you were jumping off your seat, jumping off your couch, or whatever, and so invested in these two are just masters of their craft. Will Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, there's just something about Ospreay in the fall that just like he goes to a different level, because out of his last like three singles matches of him versus Tsuji, him versus Zach, him versus Speedball, they have all been absolutely phenomenal matches and like some actual match of the year contenders. I don't know what it is, but he just, when the air starts to cool down and you feel that cool autumn breeze, Ospreay's like, all right, cool, pedal to the metal. We're going all in. But yeah, this was like a definite like great showing of how they've also both like have come up since their time in Rev Pro, both former Rev Pro British heavyweight champions. This was a great showcasing of like what they wanted to happen with the UK independent scene, where it's gone to today, and what they're both doing with their fame and success within wrestling. This was just like a match where like I thought Ospreay was going to lose the title a few times. Like there was some really like close moments where it looked like he was just going to have to give up because Zach had him in like some like completely like ridiculous cattle mutilation cobra twist combination thing that he's probably going to end up calling like the Breakfast Club's a wanker.
Well, it is. I mean, we have to. I mean, unbelievable, wasn't it? Really, that match. Absolutely unbelievable. So that's it for our New Japan reviews. But we have got a New Japan preview to do, haven't we? This podcast goes out the last weekend of October, as always, the last weekend of the month, and the first weekend of the new month, the first weekend of November, November 4th, Power Struggle in Osaka. And there's plenty of matches on this card. I'll have a quick whiz through them. The US Heavyweight Championship match, Ospreay defended against Zack Sabre Jr., who just mentioned he's got Shota Umino in this card. Great Old Khan facing John Moxley, who's returning to New Japan, which is very exciting news. And a few more as well, a few tag matches, a trios title match, Ishii, Tanahashi and Okada defending against TMDK of Sabre Jr., Nichols and Shane Haste. And last but not least, well, two actually, last but not least, forgot about one there, Takahashi defending his title against Ishimori, and of course the Junior Tag League final. A very busy card, very full card. What are you most looking forward to out of that, Fuser?
100% Ospreay versus Umino. Like their match at Historic Crossover last year was great. They're gonna go hard again this year. Hopefully Kenny Omega doesn't make another announcement and overshadows Umino again. But definitely one sleeper match, I think, that will be a lot like a lot of like chat about after the show concludes. Great Okan versus Moxley. We mentioned with the Rio Goku match how Finley and Tama Tonga are both wrestlers that are great when they are in the ring with someone else who's much better than them. Great Okan is another guy where he gets elevated if his opponents are much more like have higher star power. His match against Ospreay is in the G1 is a perfect example of that, and I feel like it's going to happen again here with Moxley, especially since Moxley's style is very similar to Great Okan's. A lot more like grounded, a lot more like just stiff, like just doing anything. Moxley is gonna definitely do a few things, and Great Okan's gonna rub himself all over, and Mox is gonna be like, all right, all right, then I guess we're doing this. But yeah, no, I think that'd be a sleeper match for sure.
I think you're spot on there. That's the one I was gonna pick out. obviously the main event will be fantastic. I mean, it's two great wrestlers, isn't it? Umino and Ospreay. But the Okan Moxley match, that sort of, that screams at me. That's the sort of match I like. You expect a real physical brawl out of that. And as well, Takahashi, Ishimori. It's a match we've seen before. It's a match that Ishimori, Takahashi seems to happen every second Sunday. But we've not seen it for a while now. And I'm always a big fan of Ishimori when he's in these sort of spots. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And genuinely, a really, really good-looking card if we ignore David Finlay-Tangaloa. Fall asleep during that match and wake back up 10 minutes later. And it's a wonderful, wonderful card, this.
Yeah, Finlay versus Tangaloa is going to be a great power nap. And you might wake up in time to see Finlay get kicked out of Bullet Club. That's like the only real thing to keep an eye out for that match. It's like, maybe if Finlay loses it, then I think that might be it. He might just be like, yeah, I know, you're an awful leader, get out.
Well, we'll see if you're a prophet, if that comes true. There's some Dragon Gate involvement as well on this card. Strong Machine J, Kaito, and Moshizuki Jr. all on this card in sort of a pre-show trios match. Their opponents not been revealed as of yet. But I'm sure Kay's jumping for joy over that. We'll talk about that next month. That's sort of it for our New Japan roundup. Lots to talk about, and it's been a very busy month for New Japan, hasn't it, as we've sort of gone through there. A company that's had a quieter month is DDT, but they've got a busy November coming up. Their big Ultimate Party show on the 12th of November. I mean, this card, I had a quick glance at it earlier, and I knew the main matches, but I had a quick glance through it before we started this, and I didn't realise how stacked the card was, I have to say. Again, I'll have a run through the main matches. Chris Brooks in the main event, defending his KOD Openweight title against Yuki Ueno. My match of the night, I'm really so looking forward to Chris Jericho against Takeshita. Really looking forward to that. There's a six-person tag as well. Saki Akai's retirement. She teams with Sakaguchi and Okatani's eruption. They face Mara Fuji, Higuchi, and Maya Hashita. Words. Who needs words?
Who needs Maya words for Yamashita.
I know. Awful. That looks really interesting, that match, to me. Less so the DDT Universal Championship match. Matt Cardona defends against Mao. Matt Cardona does absolutely nothing for me. And the Iron Man Heavy Metal Championship match, which does a little bit more. Hiromu Takahashi in DDT. He faces Hirata. Further down the card, Daisuke Sasaki versus Tetsuya Endo as well. I mean, it's a really packed card, this. And lots to pick from. Fuser, have a match out of this one. What are you the most looking forward to?
This isn't something I'm most looking forward to, but the return of Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, that's interesting to me. Formerly known as Eichmann Jiro in WWE, he got released part of the most recent cleanup of the roster. He's back in New Japan. He's taking on Takeshi Masada. That's an interesting one. I've never actually seen Kuroshio outside of WWE, so this would be my first showing of what he was about before and what he's currently about now. That one is something to keep my eye on. But yeah, I think the one I'm most looking forward to is definitely Saki Akai's retirement match. That other team of Mara Fuji, Higuchi, and Yamashita. Oh my god. When they announced that match, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really wonderful card, and that match does stand out, doesn't it? I said, the 12th of November. They always go on for about 10 hours, these DDT cards. 12 matches on this card. Missed the first few, and I'll be all right, I reckon. But yeah, there's some really wonderful matches on towards the end. A moment on Chris Jericho to Takeshita. I'm really looking forward to that, as I've said. I'm shamelessly a big Chris Jericho fan, which is every day it becomes a less and less appealing take, just in-ring, really. Outside, with all the stuff he does outside of wrestling, it's less appealing, isn't it? But I'm looking forward to this match nonetheless. Takeshita can pull a bad match, pull a good match, sorry, out of a chair, so I'm sure he can get a good match out of Chris Jericho.
And you can also always expect a bit of Don Callis bollocks.
There's
going to be something. It's Callis, whether Jericho was like, surprise, Kenny, or something. There's gonna be some sort of outside interference, but which will add to it. There's still gonna be a great match though, regardless. Yeah, the more I look at this card, I think also Brooks versus Ueno will be another highlight of the night. That's gonna be a phenomenal main event.
Definitely. A little bit further down as well, Akiyama, Harashima, and Naya. What a trio that is there against the Voodoo Murderers. But it's genuinely a fantastic card. So we'll be talking about that, reviewing that next month. But yeah, no, really, really good card there for DDT. After a month where they've had very little in terms of wrestling, but a nice little break before such a big show isn't the worst thing in the world.
I do have to say, though, I am surprised that Hiromu versus Hirata is only for the Iron Man heavy metal title, which Hiromu currently holds. I thought that match was like a double title match. That's what they seem to have been teasing with the Iron Man heavy metal weight and the DDT title, or the DDT Extreme title, excuse me. That seems like that's what they were teasing, and then it's just the one match. But I mean, Hiromu as the Iron Man heavy metal weight champion is always fun. He's having a very all over the place 2023. He's just like showing up in any promotion that exists in Japan.
Yeah, he's everywhere, isn't he?
The true freelancer of 2023.
Definitely. Yeah, so that's it really for New Japan. We've done New Japan. You mentioned
more New Japan. Hiromu. Always New Japan.
Got me.
This is actually Ace Techers.
Yeah, definitely. We move on to Noah. It's definitely not Ace Techers. We're moving on to Noah. only really one match to pick out as the big Noah show is the day our podcast goes out. So unless we'll sort of do some telekinesis, we're going to struggle to review that, or preview it. So the Nakajima, his Karakura and Hall send-off is the only thing to talk about. From Noah, he teamed with Masaaki Kitamiya, his former Aggression teammate, and his current teammate, Axis, Go Shiozaki. They faced Daiki Inaba, Manabu Soya, and Mochizuki, and I thought a really, really good trios match. I'll see what you think, and then I'll come back to pick out a little bit of what I want to talk about.
Yeah, that was a really, like you said, it was a really great trios match. It was a great showing of like just kind of like the history of Nakajima in Noah, both with his teammates and his opponents. He is going to you're really going to feel like the blow on Noah once, like following next month, once he's gone for sure. His presence has throughout the years has been huge for this company. Him leaving is going to be just brutal on this company and might even lead to other guys also departing, in all honesty. I think we're moving towards a more darker period with Pro Wrestling Noah, with guys wanting to try out other places and stuff. But yeah, no, this match is great. Nakajima, of course, near the end having his like exchange with Soya despite being on the same team as him. I love that's what thing I absolutely love with Japanese wrestling. Whenever there is an accidental like collision between teammates, they don't just like look at each other like, "What you doing? I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. What are you doing, man? I'm sorry." They like actually it's like, "Hey, what are you doing? It was an accident." "Oh yeah, well fuck you." And then they just start hitting each other. They don't take apologies. Only forearms.
No apologies, only forearms. That's the name of this podcast.
No apologies, only forearms.
yeah, when you mentioned it there with the stuff with Kitamiya and Nakajima and Kitamiya, the former Aggression teammates, as I mentioned, they had a lovely moment in there, like you've said, as they rammed into each other and they just had a scrap for just for old time's sake. That was great. And Daiki Inaba was the person I wanted to pick out from this match, just how fantastic he was in what was a really big spot for him. Really sort of, even in defeat, sort of really... I thought, showing himself well.
Yeah. This was one of those matches where everyone in it had a good moment and like just showcased themselves. Which that's not always guaranteed in large multi-man matches like this. There's always someone who will like maybe just have a more quieter match against or compared to everyone else. But this all around, these six guys like really showed up for Nakajima's final match at Korakuen Hall. Like they knew it was a special moment and everyone put in the work.
Yeah. And the day after this, and before I'm going to ask you, I'll give you a few moments to prepare. I was going to ask you where you think Nakajima is going to end up. But the day after this show, after this Noah Korakuen Hall show, he turned up back in Korakuen Hall, but for a different company. He was at the All Japan show. He came out at the end of the Yuma Oagi Kenta Miyahara Triple Crown main event, which we'll talk about in a moment. And he brought out some flowers. They absolutely destroyed over the head of Kenta Miyahara. It's amazing. So is that the landing spot, do you think, Fuse? Is that where Nakajima's going after all this? Is he going to All Japan?
So, I think he's going to go to All Japan for a little stint. I think he's going to go there to have another match against Kento, to kind of like, I think Kento won back in June, if I recall correctly. Let me double check. I actually have it right here. Is it July?
You've got me thinking there, because I thought Nakajima won that match.
It was not. Yes, sorry. Nakajima didn't
win
that match.
Oh, look at that. Here we are.
Yes.
The voice is fading, but the memory is still there.
The memory is still there. The names aren't there perfectly, but the match memory is there. Yeah, Nakajima won that match. So I guess he still feels like there's some unfinished business with Kento. So this, I feel like there's going to be like they're going to have that match in an All Japan ring, which is going to be phenomenal. If you are not currently into All Japan, this is like the perfect time to get into All Japan. This is like they're gaining like close to another good peak. Like if you were a fan of them back in like the 70s and 80s when they were like the rivals of New Japan, they're building themselves back up again. They're building the future with like the Aoyagi brothers and everything and Yuma Anzai. This is the perfect time to get into All Japan and learn about All Japan and everything they're doing. They are doing an absolutely phenomenal job this year. But yeah, I think this is going to be just a short little stint for him to have another match against Nakajima Miyahara and maybe some other matches, maybe go for the Triple Crown heavyweight title. But at the end, I think he's going to end up in the States. Ooh. Where in the States, to be determined, whether it's with AEW or WWE, or maybe just freelancing around for a while. I would love for him to be in AEW. I think there's a lot of phenomenal like dream matches that he could have in AEW. But yeah, I think he wants to like dip his toes overseas and try out the States.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of a little bit lost for where he's going to go. Freelance around Japan is sort of what we had come together to decide on last month's podcast. So this turning up in All Japan was sort of along that vein. So we'll have to wait and see. Interesting if he's going to go to the States. Will I said on our last podcast that he will not be going to AEW. So if that comes back to get me, then... maybe I'll have to hand my spot over to you if you're just the host of the podcast. But
send me the timestamp on Twitter. We're gonna get him. We're gonna replace Jamie. We're coming in for spot.
Yeah, but Ben will be delighted though. Ben might want you replacing me after what you said about All Japan. There, you glowing reviews of All Japan. Ben, I'll have you every week. So.
Yeah. I've only gone to All Japan this year. I got into it around, I think it was around All Together Again when I was like, I'm going to give All Japan a try. And then I got into it and I've really been into it. They have just been on fire this year. Kento has been putting in a very strong ballot for Wrestler of the Year. He kind of dipped out a bit in the middle of the year, but he definitely came back like recently, especially with his match against Yuma, which I still have yet to watch. I'm still waiting. But
it's the roles reversal from earlier, because this one is one I have seen. Yuma Ayoagi defending his Triple Crown against Kenta Miyahara from the 21st of November. This is the last match we'll talk about this month. And as you would expect, I'm sure with that match in your mind, you know it'll be an amazing match. And it was an amazing match. They've got amazing, amazing chemistry in ring. And it was no surprise that this did deliver to what you'd expect it to. And just that energy that they bring, and how they can like build a match to such a dramatic conclusion is masterful, really. They're two people at the peak of their powers at different stages in their career, but at the peak of their powers. And yeah, they're phenomenal main event.
Yeah. To cope and seethe with not being able to watch this match, I actually went back and watched their title match from, I think it was March, where the roles were reversed, where Kento was the Triple Crown champion and Yuma's challenger. So I went back and watched that one. I don't know if that's going to offer much of review for October, but just to kind of like build anticipation for the rematch, or the rematch of this year. It's just like, please.
Yeah, I mean, it was glorious, wasn't it? And it'd be interesting to see now if Nakajima, if he goes after Miyahara, does he go for the Triple Crown? It'd be interesting to see on this sort of soiree into All Japan for him. But that is all we've got. A busy month, but we've got through. We've covered it well, Fuser. And again, thank you for stepping in and joining me this month. Have you got anything to plug for our listeners? Where can they find you and that sort of thing?
You can follow me on Twitter at FusaBaller. Same thing with Blue Sky, same thing with Threads. I'm most active on Twitter, despite only tweeting once every week or two, mostly about the SAG after strikes. And then the occasional, like, hey, wrestling's stupid. Here's something that's happened in wrestling and why wrestling's stupid fun. But other than that, though, yeah, no, that's where you can find me.
Fantastic. You can find myself on Twitter as well, jjohnson_16, for all my work. It goes up on there. And for wrestling, you can find all the other wrestling podcasts like ours by searching Wrestle in wherever you listen to your podcasts. Ace Techers on the Indies, All Elite Listening, The Ocean Cyclone Show, The Tokyo Joshi Freedom Fighters. There's so many options, a podcast for everyone. And as well, the Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlein. Donations and different tiers on there for Noob Japan, the weekly exclusive Into the Wrestleverse podcast, and early access to all the great content the people at WrestleIn produce. So, Fuser, thank you very much for joining me this fine October. Have a great Halloween. We're almost there. It's almost time for spooky season.
It's almost spooky season.
It really is. So. It
falls on a Tuesday. Let's get crazy.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining me. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back next month.